I think somewhere in the midst of life, I guess, I ended up reading a little bit verses that were very close to what you read. And I just want to read them for you now because those were great for Thanksgiving, and mine are pretty good too. So I think it's my mistake. So my apologies, but you will hear what I mean. There are some words of Deuteronomy very close to what we heard today, and for Thanksgiving, they describe the beauty and abundance of this land in which God's people live. They just fit. They describe a good land with flowing streams, with springs and underground waters welling up, a land of wheat and barley and fig trees and vines and pomegranates. I've never lived in a land quite like that, where pomegranates grow. We live in a different land. No vines, well, some vines, no fig trees or pomegranates here, but our land too is one of beauty and abundance. And I think all of us really would have our own words of love for this land, perhaps for some other lands, things that make us give thanks, which is good on Thanksgiving. I love the part about the richness of the land that God created. And yet, here we are, and I bet if you think about it, I bet that some of you might have a bit of a hunch that, of course, that land that was being described then was not the land that God's people had always been in. At some point, it was the land where the Hittites and the Amorites and the Canaanites already were. And if that occurred to you, there's probably a star on some Sunday school thing for you, but there's also... you would be right. The promised land, of course, it was land taken. It was land taken from the people who had been there, and in that way, it is like our land. It's like, I guess, so many lands around the world. It can be treasured and appreciated for the beauty and the abundance that it has, but it also comes with a price of anguish on the part of others. People who have lost their homes and their way of life, the beauty that they have loved and treasured, maybe the figs and the pomegranates or the wheat and the barley, whatever. So I don't know if at the time of Deuteronomy, at that time, in that conquest, I don't know if the people weighed that anguish, although I bet some of them might have. I know that for thousands of years, there have been rabbis who have kind of weighed it. They have acknowledged that in stuff they have written. And these days, too, we do. Some, anyway. Perhaps not enough, but we do weigh it. So life is complicated. In my last parish, I served in a little town called Rosetown, which is about an hour out of Saskatoon. And after I'd been there a time, our little congregation sponsored some refugees to come and live there. They came from Aleppo, this family. And so from a different angle, we kind of became aware of beauty and anguish that happens in life. That family, they were lovely, and they were so grateful to be there among us. But also, they were so sad to have left something that they loved, to have left a place that they loved, where they knew goodness and God in the beauty of their city and their beloved families and their faith, their mosque, and history. The mom, we're Facebook friends, and the mom often posts prayers on Facebook, praying for the good of family and the good of people everywhere. They're lovely, they're inspiring. And sometimes the dad of that family has posted, I think a couple times I've seen little videos that kind of scan the wonders of Aleppo, the war that has been for so many years now, that scan the wonders of the way Aleppo had been, this beautiful city, with kind of this mournful music that would be traditional for them. And then there would be one of those little emojis down in the corner, you know, the happy face things. But it wasn't a happy face, it was a little face with a tear. Of course, anguish and beauty together. I think many of us this week are kind of getting the thing about anguish and beauty. Some of us might still be thinking about people in Edmonton that were injured last weekend. Others are thinking about people who are killed or injured in the U.S. in Las Vegas this last week. And really, any of us could be thinking about any people, so many different people around our world that mourn or that understand the struggles and the anguish of life. So the passage from Deuteronomy that marvels at the beauty of this land in God's world and also in a different place kind of acknowledges that it wasn't always there. In a way, it sounds so familiar, so much like our world, which is beautiful and yet broken. But here we are. It's Thanksgiving. The church is decorated. It looks beautiful. There's all this stuff at the front that we get to take away to people. And we humans, we need to celebrate, and so we do. Yesterday, friends and family and church gathered for a baby shower for Zoya. It was very cool. How perfect that people dressed up and celebrated the life of this little girl who has come such a long way in her first few months. It's a good reason for Thanksgiving. It's another way that we consider how we frame our lives on this weekend of thanks. So it was that as I thought about that, I thought about framing stuff, I turned to our gospel. So just listen to one line from that gospel, oddly enough. The first line, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. Now that doesn't sound like an earth-shattering kind of line. It kind of sounds like something on the way to somewhere. But the fact is, it kind of struck me. This is what struck me about it. Jesus was going through the region between Samaria and Galilee. So it was a border region that he was in. It wasn't a border like a line where you know which side you're on, but it was a region. He wasn't on one side or the other. He was kind of in the middle. He was in the middle of different stories and different realities, different longings to a certain extent. In a border region, you might not be quite of one region, but you're also not exactly of the other. And I think in a way, we know that feeling. Today is a day of thanks. It's a day of celebration. You might love this weekend. I do, I admit it. But that, of course, is not all there is. We too are in a border region. Some of us are traveling back and forth, literally, I guess, but that's not what I mean. Traveling between celebrating whatever there is to celebrate, whether it's colored leaves against a blue sky, or friends and family, or one of those meals with all the mashed potatoes and gravy or samosas and curry that you can eat. And at the same time, we're left thinking perhaps of sadness or hunger or violence that we just don't want to be. Some of us might be missing someone we've lost since our last holiday, but still we long for and are part of that other region of thanks for all the goodness that God lives. As I thought about this Thanksgiving, it somehow made sense to me that we live in borderlands, between goodness and pain and justice and violence. As we celebrate what we do, it's good to know that in the midst of the celebration, as usual, Jesus is inviting us to move, to notice where we are and notice, too, that there is another side. To walk into a town with him, the town with Jesus, that was built by people who were caught right in the middle. Jesus walked the border. He entered the town. And from there, it is as if there was another border region entirely. Not just the Samaritans and the Judeans, the northerners and southerners, people on this border or that. But there was another region yet. The kingdom of God, where the borders don't have the boundary, where the boundaries don't have the last word, where God has a vision and we know and hear that injustice will end, where Jesus lives and speaks and healing comes. From that region, that place of healing right there on in that border where they were, Jesus spoke to their own dignity as people. He spoke to them beyond their illness, beyond their nationalities, beyond their prejudice. Jesus spoke as a brother, as a friend, as a savior to their own healed selves, in a sense. He spoke to them like they were not being diminished by a disease or trapped in the unfairness of life. He spoke to them as people on the way to being healed. It was a given that they would be healed. He spoke to them from the place where he lived, a place without borders, and asked them to take their healing back to their communities, to return home, to leave that region, that in-between region, and go back to their own priest, to their own communities. because I read this week that the Samaritan would have gone to that priest and the Galileans would have gone to that priest. Interesting. So anyway, the Samaritan, so they went, we assume, to their priests. The Samaritan came back, the Galileans didn't. We've heard that often, of course. But I am willing to bet that the healing happened and the gratitude followed in all cases, although it would have, was voiced in different ways. And I bet that as much as they were healed, the Samaritan and the Galileans would never again hear those stories of the other side quite the same. "Don't tell me what Galileans think," that Samaritan would say. "Some of my best friends are Galilean." And he would mean it. "Don't tell me about what bad people the Samaritans are," the Galileans would say. "I will never forget that guy I lived with when I was there in that town in the land between borders. He gave me his bread when there wasn't enough for all of us. He fed me, and I will not listen to your words." So in a way, I think that is where Jesus takes us, this Thanksgiving, to the land between, where we can know about the beauty of the world and love it, where we can see sisters and brothers all around, where we can feel the wrongness of what happens in our world and know that in the kingdom toward which God is moving us, that wrongness will not be. There will be enough land for all. There will be enough for all. There will be healing for the sick and life beyond separation and division. For us as God's people, as Christians, that is the vision we're left with today. It's the Thanksgiving meal. It's that meal that we eat around this table, a meal of forgiveness and healing, a meal for a future we don't yet live entirely, a meal that knows that every bit of beauty in this world points us to a place where boundaries don't define us, where love is all, and where Christ heals us to be the people we are and the people God intended. And that is something for which to give thanks. Amen.